Thanks for tuning in to our GM Sustainability Podcast Series. Last week, we announced GM's Arlington Assembly Plant will soon use 30 megawatts of wind energy to power its operation. That's 115 million kilowatt hours of energy. In layman's terms, enough energy to power 55% of the facility. What can Arlington Assembly make with 30 megawatts of wind power? Something on the order of 125,000 trucks per year. Here with me to talk about the wind deal is Anthony Davis, Project Manager of Sustainability Initiatives and Renewable Energy at General Motors. Anthony helps negotiate the wind deal for GM and knows the in and outs of clean energy. You could say he's a really big fan of it, pardon the pun. Anthony, thanks for joining the podcast.
Well, thank you for having me. I don't have any puns in mind, but I'm sure I'll come up with something that'll blow you away.
Oh. Well, let's get right into it then. 115 million kilowatt hours of energy. That sounds like a lot.
It is.
Can you put that into perspective for us?
Yes, so I can. So let's talk about it in terms of homes. So when you think about, you know, your average electricity use in your home, you go through, you're turning on TVs and things like that. When you think about it, we can power about 12,000 American homes per year. Let's talk about passenger vehicles if we want to look at it that way. You're looking at avoiding the equivalent emissions from 16,000 passenger vehicles driven for an entire year. And then if we want to look at it, you know, let's say LED lights. If you had, you know, one 60-watt energy-efficient LED light bulb that ran for a year, you know, how many light bulbs could you have? You could have literally up to 219,000 of those energy-efficient 60-watt bulbs, and this wind project would basically help cover the entire need of that. So it's pretty awesome.
That is really awesome. And like I mentioned, this will power over half of the plant.
Exactly.
So earlier That's this huge. Year, we announced another wind deal in Mexico that'll power about a third of the operations in our GM Mexico facilities. Why did we start in Mexico with wind power?
Well, it really comes down to our approach to renewable energy as a whole. So when we look at renewable energy projects, we're looking at projects that provide GM with a cost savings, so basically a benefit to our bottom line. But we're also looking at projects that help us avoid risk for the rising and variable cost of electricity that we see really happening globally. In Mexico, you know, we had the great wind down there and great projects that were basically going to allow us to take advantage of the wind. And then the traditional energy prices in Mexico are a lot higher than we see in other regions where we operate. So using that renewable energy really helps us to mitigate risk, again, as I said before, as part of our strategy, and it helps to keep our manufacturing costs lower.
Great, and that must have a huge impact on our carbon footprint by using a new...
Yes, it does, exactly. So, yep, wherever we are able to use renewable energy, we're able to reduce carbon emissions in those regions. So, again, using wind power helps us, you know, not use power that comes from other sources of energy.
Absolutely. Yep. So we're taking that strategy a little bit north to this Arlington Assembly in Texas. What is it about the state of Texas that's making these wind turbines pop up and make business sense?
Mm-hmm. Well, first we have to talk about our Arlington facility. So at our Arlington facility, that's, you know, where we produce the Chevrolet Suburban and Tahoe, the GMC Yukon, the Cadillac Escalade.
Right.
So we've got a lot of product down there. And then again, just like Mexico, there's a great abundance of wind. And the location where we've signed our, you know, our deal, which is in, you know, Hidalgo, the south of Texas, the wind blows at a time of day when there are a lot of people using electricity. So you talk about the afternoon hours when people are just getting home from work and, you know, everyone's firing up the TV, again, the stove, and, you know, everyone's using power, you know, in the evening hours. And that's when the wind blows, and that's when this project basically, you know, really comes to life. So it really helps us to reduce the strain on the grid by signing projects like this. And then when we talk about Texas in general, they have a very, very good renewable portfolio standard. And that helps us, it helps the project developers save money and, again, reduce risk. And basically, the acceleration of wind power being made available is because of these policies. So it just provides us with a cost-effective way to invest in these projects. And because wind prices are decreasing, we're able to see those savings as well.
Right. So in your job as project manager of sustainability initiatives and renewable energy, you're looking at these policies all the time across the globe and tasked with developing many of our clean energy deals. Mm-hmm. So can you tell us more about what you do to make these deals reach the finish line?
Yeah. So you're looking at policies across the globe. You're looking at, you know, just a whole slew of different projects and basically, what I would say my role is, if we can liken it to a football game, and again, since we're talking Arlington, my favorite football team is the Dallas Cowboys. Even though they're not doing too well, I won't liken myself to the coaches and coordinators there. but I see myself as sort of the one of the offensive or, you know, defensive coordinators. So, you know, we talk about our coaches and our owners, that being like the Jim DeLucas and the Mary Barras, the CEO of GM. And, you know, I'm the offensive coordinator, basically trying to coordinate and execute these projects. If we look at it as a football, trying to get it down the field, making sure that we've got the right players involved, from finance to our technical accounting teams to legal, pulling in the environmental folks when they're needed, and basically making sure that, you know, we have all the right players lined up, that we're running the right plays, and that we're executing those plays so that we can, you know, get the ball down the field and across the goal line, which is, you know, signing our names on it and being able to announce these awesome deals.
Right. So, using your analogy of getting something from the kickoff line to the goalpost, and Texas is a big state, and like you mentioned, Hidalgo is in the Hidalgo wind farm is in the southernmost part of the state, but Arlington's more central near the capital. How is the power managed given the distance between the point A and point B in this deal?
Right. So, yeah, you're talking about, you know, more than 500 miles in between where our plant is located in Arlington and where this wind farm is being built in the south of Texas, really close to the border of Mexico. And really, you can think about it, you know, in simple steps as to how we manage it. And it helps to look at, you know, once the wind farm goes into production, you've got these wind turbines. Once the wind starts blowing, the turbines move, and that, you know, in turn causes the generators to move, and it sends the electricity to the grid in the form of, you know, electrons. And everything is connected to the grid. So your house is connected to the grid. If you have an EV vehicle and you're plugging it in, you're plugging in your Volt, you know, that's connected to the grid. And basically what that allows us to do is, again, power, you know, more things by using wind power. Now, how are we able to claim that power? We do it through the use of claiming the renewable energy credits. So, you know, when a project comes online, a renewable energy project comes online, for all the electricity that it produces, you're also getting renewable energy credits. And by us taking those credits, we're basically able to say that, you know, we own that power. Another way I like to look at it, you know, and really this is a more holistic approach, is, you know, if we take, say, a pint of beer, or, you know, since we're in a Christmas season, maybe a cup of eggnog, and let's say you have, you know, this really cheap brand of eggnog that's been around for a while, and, you know, it really doesn't taste that good. It's actually pretty terrible, but it's cheap, and it's been available, so you're buying that. And then all of a sudden, you know, here comes someone with this better tasting eggnog. It's not only better tasting, but it's good for you. What we're doing is we're replacing that bad eggnog with good eggnog, right? So we're taking the cup, which, you know, sort of represents our electricity needs, everyone's electricity needs in the state of Texas and around the world, and we're getting rid of the bad eggnog, which in this case could be, you know, coal power or, you know, oil power, and we're replacing it with solar power or with wind power in this case. So it helps us, but then it helps, you know, our environment as a whole.
Great. So we're, like you started to say, we're not sourcing coal,
right? Exactly.
For direct use in our facilities. We're using green power, and that's the strategy we're pursuing across the globe. Mm-hmm. So by the end of 2016, once this Mexico wind deal and the new Arlington wind deal go online, GM will use 170 megawatts of green energy globally. What are the benefits of using this renewable power?
Well, again, it's the environmental benefits. Mm-hmm. So we're talking about displacing the use of non-renewable sources, which, again, is huge for the environment. It reduces, you know, the emissions that come from coal power plants and from, you know, oil plants and things like that, and even, you know, natural gas plants. It reduces those emissions, which means it, you know, helps the ozone layer. It helps animals that live nearby. It helps people that live nearby who are breathing in. And, you know, we talk about other countries that have these huge smog problems in their large cities. those problems are eliminated when you start to make the switch to using renewable energy sources. And then we talk about sustainable manufacturing. So within all of our sites, you know, where we're building our cars and our trucks, we want to make sure that we're doing it in a way that's as environmentally friendly as possible. And so when we're able to source these sorts of deals, that helps us along that path. And then again, we talk about our energy savings. So when we sign these deals, we're seeing upwards of $2 to $3 million saved per year for these types of deals. So it's really the triple bottom line, you know, that we're helping the environment, we're helping people, and we're helping, you know, our bottom line as well as the economy's bottom line, because these projects, they create jobs, and that's huge.
Certainly with all of these huge benefits from using renewable power, it's, mm-hmm. we've seen that there are some challenges to getting there.
Oh, yeah.
Can you describe some of those?
So it's certainly not easy. As I stated before, you know, trying to coordinate, you know, a bunch of different teams and, you know, a bunch of different people. And then, you go into a different location. You've got, you know, the variability that comes with different states and their different, you know, cities that all have their own sort of rules and regulations. You're working with different utilities that have their own rules and regulations. And then even within our own plants, you know, there are just different, you know, people that you have to work with and sort of manage different processes that might be in place that you have to manage. So it really comes down to, you know, trying to manage those variables, trying to streamline and simplify a lot of the variables that are out there. And one of the biggest benefits that we've seen as we've done these deals and as we've seen other companies do these deals is that, you know, we're able to actually leverage that knowledge. And one of the biggest things that's helped us is in our, you know, signing the Renewable Buyers Principles, being a founding signatory there, and also being a founding member of the Business Renewable Center. So, you know, we've worked with the World Wildlife Fund and World Resources Institute and the Rocky Mountain Institute as a founding member with the BRC. And that's really helped to accelerate corporate renewable energy procurement as a whole. And basically that's been sort of the catalyst to a lot of these, you know, deals being signed more and more throughout the marketplace. And so as there's more deals being signed, that's helped build a comfort level, it's helped build the understanding within our teams. It reduces a lot of the variables, and it's really helped to start eliminating the challenges that we see. So it's getting a lot easier. I won't say it'll mm-hmm. be, you know, a piece of cake, but it certainly helps us in doing these.
So with these agreements and principles that we've established with organizations like the Business Renewable Center, mm-hmm. that's helping drive not only GM's energy future,
right.
but also a clean energy future for
us all.
Several other companies,
yep.
for
yep.
us all,
yep.
right.
Yep.
So what's your idea and vision for GM's energy future?
And you kind of hit on it. You know, it's, you know, being a sustainable company that's not only, you know, benefiting ourselves, but it's making sure that our communities are benefiting where we operate and where we don't operate. It's making sure that globally we're being good stewards of our environment. You know, we're not just here to build a great product. We're positively impacting the community through, you know, what we do in our operations. And so, you know, when we talk about our sustainability goals as a whole, it's not just renewable energy. We're talking about, you know, wildlife habitats. We're, you know, reducing waste and finding creative ways to reuse waste even. We're reducing our use of water, which, you know, in turn reduces the strain, you know, on water throughout the world. We're,
right.
you know, reducing energy, which again reduces, you know, emissions that come from the use of energy. And then we're, you know, doing outreach wherever we can. So we have, you know, these manufacturing goals within GM that really help us to sort of push a positive impact throughout the world. And that's huge for me. So, you know, within our energy future, I just want us to continue, you know, signing these deals where we're bringing more, you know, wind, more solar, you know, more, you know, geothermal, hydro, wherever we can in a sustainable manner into the marketplace and really just displace a lot of the coal power, the, you know, oil based and, you know, natural gas to that matter, really start to displace that so that we can really start to reap the benefits, you know, as a whole, as a planet. We only get one planet. So, you know, we're trying to make sure that we do our best to keep it healthy and to keep people healthy, you know, while also providing a great product to everyone.
Great. Mm-hmm. Can tell your passion to help bring green products to the market,
yes.
and support GM's goals
indeed,
overall.
Indeed.
Well, thanks, Anthony, for taking the time to speak with us today.
Thank you.
For more information about GM's sustainability efforts, visit our blog generalmotors.green and our sustainability report at gmsustainability.com. Thanks for listening.